Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower IONIQ 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Our friend, our sales guy, Brent, just popped in here saying it's like $800 for the cheap seats.
Yep.
At Oakmont next year. Yeah, Callis, you paying? Yeah. You know what? Don't buy a bus. We're going to Oakmont. There you go. What do you think?
Why don't we take the bus to Oakland?
Oh, for God's sakes. Nowhere to park. Mark Aboli joining us right now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Mark talked to Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward said he'll play someplace else in 2025. He's playing, whether it's with the Steelers or someone else. And then he mentions Cleveland. Do you think he... What, tell us how that all came about, Mark, because he said he's got family in Cleveland, his wife's got family in Cleveland, but it's rubbed a lot of Steelers fans the wrong way.
It was a joke. He was joking about Cleveland. Not maybe not playing somewhere else. So that's all that was. I mean,
well, you didn't write it that way, Mark. I feel like you're culpable here.
No, I thought I made it quite clear that it was jokingly. It's the aggregators that came and then made it sound like it was true. I mean, I said to him, hey, nobody's going to see you in a 32 Seattle Seahawks Franco jersey, right? And he laughs. I said, yeah, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati. He goes, oh, you know, Cleveland, my wife and some family are still up there. I'm like, yeah, right. He goes, yeah. And, you know, it was just a joke. But the grand scheme of things I think he's trying to gain some leverage. I don't even know if it's leverage, but I think he's just holding off, waiting, trying to see maybe the longer he waits, that they can come together with maybe, I don't know. It's hard because they won't tell you specifics of what happened. What I'm saying is maybe they're offering him low right now and they're not offering him much of incentives to sign right now. Maybe if he goes down this route, he'll get them to say, you know, add some kickers into it of play time stuff or anything like that to get more money out of it. It's just a game right now. Trust me, I don't think he was – I know he wasn't serious about the Cleveland thing.
Okay, great. Like, that was a joke, and I'm glad that you said that. Yes, that was a joke, because that didn't make any sense to me why he would do that and alienate himself from the Steelers organization or this fan base. But it's not a joke that there's a possibility he could be playing somewhere else. And what percentage chance do you give that, Mark?
I mean, I guess – I mean, once you get past September 8th and the – you know, that the start of the season, I guess it's – anybody's guess at that point, because you don't know what the season's going to look like. You don't know what the Steelers would offer him. I think the Steelers, what they're trying to do is take advantage of his loyalty. And honestly, that's what I truly believe is, okay, let's see what you can do this year. We know you'll sign back next year. You don't want to go anywhere else. So we'll save our rear ends here of any risk, and we'll know you'll sign back next year. And he's basically saying, nah, maybe not. And it's just a big leverage type of game. I think he'll get it done. Like I've been saying, is both of them are going to have to give some concessions here. Steelers are going to have to give him more incentives, a lace contract, and more money to potentially make, and he's not going to want to have that guaranteed, you know, $16-18 million like he's a 27-year-old rather than he's a 35-year-old coming off of injury.
Mark Caboli joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, our Steelers insider from The Athletic. It is 9:04, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. So Omar Khan was on with the Afternoon Guys last week, and he basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, said that just because they did not give Najee Harris pick up his fifth-year option doesn't mean he's not in their long-term plans. How do you view that now? And Najee hasn't dispelled any of this because he didn't talk the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. I mean, if they wanted him in their long-term plans, they would have picked up his option or at least, you know, offer him a contract. I mean, I don't believe in let's see how he does in Arthur Smith's offense. We know how he's going to do in Arthur Smith's offense because he's had running backs like that before. So I just think it was, when I did listen to that interview, is I think it was a business decision. They don't want to pay a guy $7 million of guaranteed money right now, especially when you have a position that people don't pay a lot to, and you already have a guy like Jaylen Warren, who's not going to get paid much money next year. We're talking about, people talk about him, Jaylen Warren, getting a contract extension next year. He's an RFA, man. They're going to offer him $2 million or $3 million, and he's going to have to take it. It's not like they're going to break the bank on him. He doesn't have any leverage whatsoever. So it was a business decision, and I don't think he will be around. Maybe that's why Najee's not talking to anybody or not acknowledging any of our existence. I wish he would have. Then he could put everything to rest. 89 other players talk, 25 coaches talk, GM talk to the PM team. I think that the fourth-year running back would have been able to talk up too. But, hey, that's his choice.
Mark, you tweeted out, I think it was maybe the first day of minicamp or maybe the last day of OTAs, that Micah Fitzpatrick was the highest competitor on the field, something of that nature, including you right now. But with what Tara Austin said about moving Micah Fitzpatrick to the more the center field role, his natural role, do you anticipate him having a big year this year?
I always anticipate him having a big year. I think he's that good. It was just he had a bunch of injuries last year and playing a position that didn't really be conducive to him making some plays. And obviously him being very competitive, very subjective. One of the reasons why I wrote that was because it was during a drill and somebody caught a ball and he was so upset at him. He grabbed the ball and started yelling at him and then threw it at him. I mean, it was just a OTA practice or something where somebody caught a 4-yard pass and he wasn't happy. And we're talking about June right now. So he is extremely competitive person. And I think he's probably the best safety in the league. But last year was one of those years where just everything caught up to him. He wasn't put in position. But yeah, I think that's a key to the defense. I mean, we talk about all the other guys, the Porters, the Watts and Haywards and the Queens, but I think that's a guy, if he could get back to what he did 2 years ago, at least production-wise, that makes that team, that defense, even more elite.
Mark Caboli with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Are they getting anything done, or are they trying to get anything done with Justin Fields?
I haven't heard anything. I wouldn't anticipate anything right now because they just don't know. I mean, let's see what he does in training camp and preseason, and then they would probably approach it that way if they see him as a potential future star. But once again, if you're Justin Fields, do you view it that way as well? I mean, if you're looking and say, okay, I'm sitting behind Russell Wilson 1 year, how about if Russell Wilson wants him to come back for another year or two? Where does that leave me? Before you know it, I'm pushing 30 and I'm still not on the field. So that's a tough decision for him because he could get some security and money, but he might be sacrificing his long-term playing too, depending on how it works out. I would definitely sign him. You know, you have to – I mean, it wouldn't have to break the bank at all. It would just have to be – I would like – I mean, if you could somehow keep him for another year or two to be able – or at least 1 year to ensure you have a quarterback in that room next year would be the ultimate. But, you know, you need to have two parties to agree on this, and – Right now, we just don't know. But I think that's more of a late September type of thing, early September.
Mark, this is a little out of the Steelers realm, but I want to get your take on it. Over the weekend, I was at a golf outing, and I was golfing with a guy who's really good friends with Joe Namath. And he says Joe Namath gripes a lot now, and he's upset all the time, and he's just mad kind of at the world. And I was like, well, why? And he was like, because he watches so many quarterbacks now get paid so much money, and he knows what he did, and he knows, and he feels like he should have made that much money as well. Trevor Lawrence, $250 million. Like, does he deserve that? Does he deserve that much money?
That's what they see him as the future as right now. Definitely he has not earned that yet. But, I mean, this day and age, man, you better have yourself a quarterback, and even if you have a semblance of one under your possession, so to speak, you better keep him. And it's just going to keep going up. My question to you, Doran, was when this guy talked to you about Joe Namath, did you say, you're talking to me? I was the tight end before the tight ends become what they are today, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
And NIL, damn it.
And NIL, yeah. I mean, I'm just getting shafted all over, of course.
You've got a really good mindset for it, though.
Thanks.
Yeah, you should say, talk to somebody else. I don't want to hear it.
I just, like, looked at him. I was like, what?
One more quarterback question here for you, Mark. And we've gone down this path before, and it got us in trouble with Kenny Pickett. But just, I mean, broadly, how did the guys look? I mean, how's Justin Fields look? How's Russell Wilson look out there?
I know. Didn't Kenny fool us all last year?
But he's tearing it up for the Eagles right now, too.
Well, apparently, right? Everybody tears it up. I think we have to take a mulligan last year because, I mean, anybody with two eyes saw that Kenny was unbelievable last August and into September. So we can pass right now. So the quarterbacks, I mean, I like what Russell Wilson's doing more than Justin Fields. I just think Justin Fields is erratic at times. He makes some spectacular plays, and you're like, oh, that's why he was such a high draft pick. Then he throws a couple floaters or some moon balls, and you're like, well, okay, now that's why the Bears got rid of him. I think he needs some more work to be done. I think Russell, for the first time, though, I'll tell you one thing. There was during a mini camp, he found some pressure, and he was a little skittish and got rid of the ball. And I did not see that from Russell the whole entire offseason except this one play. But I think he's going to provide stability. He's not going to make a ton of mistakes. So I think that Russell is a guy that is far ahead of where Justin Fields is right now. You can package it as a competition, but shouldn't we have learned that from like 2 years ago when they brought in Mitch? They can package it out whatever way they want to. It's not going to be it. It's Russell Wilson's job, and I think he's looked good enough to be able to at least hit some throws that Kenny wasn't able to make last year during the season. So I think Russell, if he keeps up where he is, I think they will definitely be better at that position. So I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen from him. But I was impressed with Kenny Pickett last year, so we better just wait and see.
Mark, last thing for you. We had Jason Mackey on earlier in this video call set up, and he popped on. He had a Skeens mustache. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think Mackey could pull that off. So I'm glad to see you filling in a little bit there, Crowley.
Yeah. I couldn't pull it off. His was better than mine.
Could you pull it off, Mark?
No, I can't draw. I can't grow a mustache at all. I'm sans mustache in my life. So I will be at the Pirate game on Saturday, and potentially Skeen will pitch Saturday. McCutcheon bobblehead. It's going to be my absolute nightmare. 98 degrees, full house, two kids. Oh, my goodness. I'm not looking forward to this.
Thank you, Mark. You're always pleasant. Yes. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Mark.
Right, see you guys.
Pirates will play the Reds on Wednesday, 12:35. It's going to be 108 degrees, real field temperature. They got to move that game tonight, don't they? Or is that
no?
That's too wussy stuff?
Yeah, maybe if it was like a youth baseball game. I don't want kids out there, but these, I mean.
I'm making an executive decision right now.
They play football in that weather.
Yeah, men
are wearing pads.
Men, those are real men. I'm talking more about just getting butts in seats. You wouldn't catch me dead at that game, 12:35. You could tell me, I guarantee you Skeens is throwing a no-hitter on Wednesday. You could guarantee, I know he's pitching tonight, but you could tell me Skeens is pitching a no-hitter on Wednesday.
You
all you
got to
do is, I would not show up.
Yes, you would. It's
sit
not
there
that
in 100 degrees? No way.
That's not that
Cincinnati
bad.
Plays at home the next day. The Pirates also play at home. You don't need the getaway day. Move the game to 640. Get people in the seats. I would not be caught dead at that game. No chance. I'd rather sit there in 8 degrees than 90.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No, you would not.
Which would you prefer, cold or hot?
Hot.
No way. Tweet me, brought to you by and us at South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A special treat, Dan Zangrilli going to join us for a couple of segments starting in the next segment. We'll talk to him about the opener the Pirates have used, the bullpen game, 2 out of the last 3. Did he like that? Why did they do that? We'll get into all of it with Dan Zan.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 3 to 3 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear wheel drive and 361 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
When we come back, Dan Zangrilli joining us in studio right now to talk about them Buccos. Real quick, though, Caboli, he was on with us in the last segment and said when Cam Hayward brought up Cleveland, it's because he was kind of led down that path. Hey, could you play in Cleveland? Well, I got family in Cleveland. Hardy, har, har. Which I feel like that context was sorely missing from Caboli's story on it.
A little bit.
And I saw that no one else wrote it except for Mark. And then we say, Mark, it didn't seem like a joke when you wrote it. He goes, no, it's clearly a joke. Everyone should know it's a joke. You gotta be careful there.
Mm.
Although, you and I were talking off air. Cam, you got to know how that's going to land.
Right.
You got to know.
Right.
All right, Dan Zangrilli joining us now to get into the Buccos. Feel like they got away with maybe a couple of games against Colorado?
So, yeah, of all the games they lose, it's the Jared Jones start, and the games that they win is like a hodgepodge of relievers.
3 of those now that they've won in recent times. But this is a team that's bullpen has not been great this year. We just chalk it up to baseball? Are they on to something here? Are they going to keep doing it?
I don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, really hard on everybody. Like, over the course of time, like, you can get away with this a handful of times over the course of the year, but as a way of life, no. This is no way No way to live.
Two
folks.
Times in a series is a lot.
Sure, yeah.
Because we've had people texting, well, every team does this at some point. Two times in a series felt like a lot to me.
It is, and maybe this is it for a little while. I think they're just waiting on Martin Perez. I heard and thought at the end of last homestand that this guy's going to be back and, you know, the groin's going to be good and he's ready to roll. But apparently I think they're just working through some things and they couldn't quite get him ready for Denver. Maybe he's ready next turn in the rotation. Maybe they do it one more time, but it is not a way of life. I agree.
Is it just, it is what it is, and this is the team that they are about all the bad details, bad detailing of baseball, all the errors, all the mishaps, the things that have gone on this year. Like, do we just chalk that up too and say, yeah, this is just who they are, or can they fix that?
What do you mean, like record-wise kind of thing? Or?
Oh, like Grandal and like the lollipop throw and the base running, things of that nature.
Well, I mean, that's the stuff that I think you need to fix. That kind of stuff, the Grandal specifically is like, that's terrible. That's unacceptable. That's coming from a 35-year-old vet, Doran. I mean, imagine if somebody of the same caliber and experience did that in a Bill Belichick type environment that you played in, what would that be?
Yeah, it'd be cut.
So, I mean,
it didn't seem like Derek Shelton was all that perturbed by
it. And, you know, baseball is different in that respect where you don't come down as the heavy, especially when you're not in a great position to leverage with that position as he is now. I think the Pirates, you know, add catcher to the list of things that they need. You know, you need a couple of relievers. You'd maybe now like a starting pitcher at this point. You want a right-handed bat. Maybe that's in the form of a catcher, say like Jacob Stallings or Elias Diaz. I think the Rockies would be a great trade partner. But yeah, that you can't crush a guy on June 15th or whatever because you need the guy to not shut it down, assuming that he hasn't already.
Would you consider, I mean, when's Joey Bart going to be healthy?
Yeah, good question.
What's the deal with Henry Davis? And then if and when those guys come back, I mean, would you DFA a Yasmani Grandal?
You know, he's an interesting guy. Like, you knew Hedges was really widely respected last year, and you felt that there was some serious value there. With Grandal, I think it might be a little different. I think a lot of guys enjoy throwing to him. There are some things that we hear that are good, but I mean, A, the guy's on one leg. The optics of kind of how he goes about his business clearly aren't great. I don't put Grandal maybe in the same category as I do from a defensive intangibles aspect that I did a year ago with Yasmani Grandal. That's an area that I'm looking to upgrade on if at all possible. And I think I was looking at the Rockies and I had Patrick Saunders on Friday, who's been covering them for a long time. Diaz is probably the most likely. Elias Diaz currently on the injured list with a calf issue. But let's say even Stallings. Those guys are on expiring contracts. They would be available. They're probably not going to deal both, but you at least have a pretty good idea. Having played in the Pirates organization, Stallings and Diaz, I would go after those guys because I think they're an upgrade offensively, and I don't think you lose much, if anything, defensively. In the case of Stallings, you probably upgrade. The guy won a gold glove for you here in Pittsburgh.
Well, real quick on the catcher thing. If you did acquire one of those guys, what do you do about Henry Davis? How much is Henry playing?
I mean, you're going to be in the same situation that you are with Yasmani Grandal. So it would be mix and match, three on, four off, and who knows? It's based on merit as you get later in the season. If it's 3 days a week or 4 days a week, that may grow to 6 days a week if you're actually gaining traction in the division and the that stuff always seems to work itself out for sure.
Why hasn't Luis Ortiz been moved to a starting role?
I mean, it's tempting, and I was kicking that around on Friday night. And I think the answer is just because he has really flourished and turned in as one of the really great long relievers in baseball. So that's the rock and
isn't
hard
that
place.
Like being like the tallest short guy?
Well, I mean, but if he's providing value, especially in these bullpen games, let's go back to the original question.
Right.
If these bullpen games are to continue, he's essentially serving as a starter.
Right.
He's
going
five innings, and the only way that it's going to be sustainable is with him. But to answer your question, I just think they're like, well, what do? We just leave well enough alone. because he's got a track record of a starter that isn't great. Here's what he's doing now. I'm sure there's temptation and discussion. I would be compelled to explore that door and stretch him out, try to get him to 85, 90, and turn him into a traditional starter. But what does the past tell us? But no doubt, it's a great question, and I'm intrigued.
Best guess, Dan, are they going to shut down Skeens and or Jones at some point?
It depends on their position in the standings and where they're trending, but I would say it's on the table if they're not competitive, sure. But that's why they're throwing Skeens tonight. He was on turn to throw yesterday, so they're trying to pick up a day, essentially be on a six-man turn without having a six-man rotation with these two guys, because you start stacking those pennies, that's gonna save you a lot of workload if you make, I don't know, maybe four or five fewer starts over time.
It's so fascinating because I know that they've won the three most recent times that they've done this. And we talked about the sustainability of that. You're trying to keep these guys viable to you come August and September while throwing these bullpen games out there, where eventually I would have to think the luck is going to turn the other way, meaning that you might not be in it in September or August. I think that's the trade-off there.
They're dancing through the raindrops. They're trying to get by way of hook or crook. It's no way to live, but people have done more smoke and mirrors to get to hopefully a sustainable or more stable place. Maybe in a couple of months they do pull the trigger on some guys, and you know, then all of a sudden the last 2 months of the season look differently than this, what is kind of like the hardest part of the year, this middle part where you don't know what you're doing, kind of who you are. You're just trying to keep your nose above water. You've lost a ton of guys experiencing that attrition. So this is like a really hard time of year. And here they are just sort of treading water, 3-3 road trip. Like not 4-2, which you would have liked, but okay, they salvaged it. They're still here. They're still around. They're still punching.
Big series starting tonight.
No doubt.
Obviously, I'm getting emotional about it, clearly.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. The Ellie De La Cruz thing really hits hard.
It does. Let's talk about that when we come back. And then a Brian Reynolds question for Dan Zangrilli, who's kind enough to join us for another segment. Doran, you're going to like this one, buddy. How many no-hit innings for Skeens tonight, Zangrilli?
Ooh, he gives up his first hit second time through the batting order, I'm going to say. So he'll minimum 3.
Oh! Let's go.
What happened? Oh, did I just cost somebody money?
No, I'm just a massive, unrelenting jinx. And whenever I say something good's going to happen for anybody, they wind up doing
that. He said that to Mackey earlier. He said, Skeens going to throw a no-hitter tonight. And the last time he said that, Mitch Keller was going to throw a no-hitter. I think he gave up like 9 runs, and then that's when Mitch Keller was awful throughout the rest of the season.
It's a little pony effect kind of thing going on here with the morning show. Is that what we got?
A little bit.
I think kind of, yeah. I said it last year about Keller, and then it was his first like bad start of the whole year.
Great.
And he was never the same after that.
I really appreciate that. That'll make for an interesting evening.
How does Skeens match up against these red legs?
Ah, man. I mean, obviously the De La Cruz matchup is going to be must-see TV, must-listen radio. And, I mean, he matches up well against everybody. Stuff plays. He's got stuff.
Top what pitcher in ball right now, Skeens?
Good question. I mean, when we talk about pitcher, like, how do you define pitcher?
Starter.
Okay. But, I mean,
if you got to win a game, how many guys are you calling their name before Skeens? Yeah.
Maybe 5 or 6. I mean, he's quickly becoming a top 10 guy. I mean, he's still learning how to do the whole thing, but stuff helps. He's on the fast track, like from an acumen perspective, but still, there's some rough edges that need polished. And then once he goes through the thing one, two times, let's talk in August to see what sort of adjustments are being made. And once they start being able to ID that splinker, then they just took a big tool out of his toolbox. So now he's kind of a fastball, breaking ball guy. Then he's going to have to mix and match. So, yeah, he's a top 10 guy we sit here.
Do you think that they didn't start him yesterday because they identified that the Rockies just honestly aren't that good and we can get away with a bullpen game, and they wanted to start him tonight because they wanted to sell tickets because it was a home game, or because of an extra day of rest?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of all three, but I would think you just, from a priority perspective, you just listed them 3-2-1 as least important to most important. So
I already forgot the order, Dan.
They wanted to get him the extra day's rest, and then from the business standpoint, ooh, this lines up. Mm-hmm. Why not hold him out an extra day? And thirdly, well, the Rockies, we could probably navigate accordingly.
As we kind of think through this, and we have done it all day long, and think aloud about it, I would prefer what they're doing over what I thought they were going to do.
What do you mean?
I thought that he'd be an 80-pitch guy, like every here and there. Like, I thought they might do the Jared Jones thing to him once or twice, and they've only done it to Jones the one time with the 59 pitches. I thought it would be more a pitch limit per start instead of let's just try to find him an extra day of rest every now and again.
Well, and I think it's going to be a combination of both. Like, so if Skeens is on a short turn, just the 4 days rest, pitching on the fifth day, I bet you they're going to pull him back like they want to do and likely will do with Jones. Do they shave 15 off of the total count? I don't know what that number is. I'm just throwing something out there. But that's why, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to try to, if you can, get him that fifth day of rest for the effectiveness and leash in that start, but also the total innings, workload, and frequency in which you're going to throw him over the course of 162.
Can we rewind for a second? Because I still haven't come to a conclusion. I don't think that you have either, Crowley. The rubber match in the St. Louis series and the lineup construction.
Oh, gosh. That's easy.
All of your best bats are out.
At one time, in one day.
And you needed to win that game? Like, what is the sense of that?
That was poor. You know, they don't call them baseball head coaches. They call them managers. Because your job is to manage it. Okay, and manage these things.
Look at him. You fired him. He's all jacked up.
I poked him in the side.
There's a nerve.
I got a page for that in my book here.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to see it all. Like, because the note I have on Gonzalez on the bench, 333, 9 extra base hits, 17 RBIs over his last 20. That was going into the Thursday game. And then you see Henry Davis, who homered the night before. And then there's Connor Joe, and then McCutchen. So I can make sense and justify Davis, and I can justify and make sense McCutchen. Because McCutchen was a 228 guy, 13-57 lifetime against Lance Lynn, 21 strikeouts. That's about a 37% K rate. Bad matchup. Though, you haven't seen Lance Lynn since 2018. He's different. So I could make a compelling argument that McCutchen should have been in there. You put yourself into a position, if you really do value these days off, recovery time, workload management, well, then you managed it poorly.
You had days off? How many days off?
Six and 21 comes, days.
Yes. There's no excuse for all four to be down. Gonzalez should have played. Joe should have played. Period, end of sentence, full stop.
Why not Henry Davis as a DH, too, if you're worried about him catching?
Because the priority is Reynolds. Reynolds got the DH day on Thursday, and he could probably use more of them. McCutchen, candidly, and to call him out a little bit, he needs to step up and play a little more right field. Everything that I understand and hear is that he can't or won't just because his lower half, I mean, it's 37 going on 45.
Mm-hmm.
So as wonderful as it is to have McCutchen and as good as he's been offensively, there's a lot of moving parts that you have to shift around just to cater to him.
Well, and that's going to play a big role in the deadline too, I think, with some of the bats that are available. And
sure,
you want Cutch in the lineup to be part of the thing, but you're probably not going to go after DHs then at that point.
Right, like Charlie Blackman's an interesting guy. Can't play first base. He can play the outfield. Blackman, at his stage in his career, is performing and is a nice left-handed stick that would otherwise look very nice in your lineup. Well, as I was talking to my Rockies guy on Friday, I'm thinking, gosh, and I'm looking up, has Blackman ever played first? No, he can't. So you got to play him in the outfield. But you also want to get Reynolds off his feet as well to try to maximize his productivity. He's on a bender right now. It's great. But to answer your question, why don't you DH? That you're not going to waste the DH spot on Henry Davis.
After he hit a home run, he's finally getting some momentum.
Right. And then he takes a foul tip, so it's all a moot point. But, yeah, I mean, the priority there is to keep Reynolds in the lineup so he gets the DH spot. That's why he didn't DH.
One last thing here on Reynolds. All of a sudden, fourth best OPS in the NL among outfielders, seventh in batting average among outfielders, fifth in home runs, fifth in RBI, and here I've been crushing the guy. I know he's on a 15-game hitting streak and things have been good of late. he's been one of the better outfielders in the National League.
Yeah, and he does it kind of quietly. He could hit a few more home runs. The OPS could be better. But, you know, I've learned to sort of now look at a 750 OPS as an 850 OPS this year for whatever. Just offense is down in the league, so we have to kind of grade on a curve of what our own benchmark numbers are internally as baseball fans. Just look at it all together. It's down significantly. So, like, 750 isn't really bad. Like, I dock everything 100 points. Hmm. Like, 950, 850 is the new 950. 750 is the new 850.
So, Nick Gonzalez is Barry Bonds.
I mean, he's really good right now.
Yeah, Soto's, over 1,000.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Nicky Barrels. He's been really, really good.
Is that what we're calling him?
Let's go.
I love that.
Do you like it? Nicky Barrels?
No, it stinks.
Oh, come on.
We'll workshop it.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the time.
All the best.
Are we brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel?
Always are. Always will be.
Social media's biggest loser coming up next. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Great question.
Your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com right now. All right. Before we get into the biggest loser, social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Skeens, last time out. 6 1/3, 5 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts. Got the standing O coming off the mound from the St. Louis Cardinals fans. 103 pitches. The fewest pitches he's thrown in a start was 84. Then he goes 193, 96, 93, and then 103. What are we looking at tonight? Let's get a little Skeensy prediction. What's he do?
He throws, let's say, around 90. I think he gets no runs are scored, 7 Ks, and 3 hits.
How many innings?
6.
That's pretty good right there, man. I mean, he's gone 6 in every start but 2. I mean, he's only made 6 starts. He's gone 5 in every start but 1. I'm going 6 innings. I'm going 8 strikeouts. No hits, no runs, and he leaves at like 92 pitches, and people say, put him out there for one more inning.
Mm-hmm.
Buccos win the game. Cal, it's a Skeens prediction. It's a Skeens day.
I say that he's not going to throw a no-hitter. That's a start. He's mm-hmm. going to do reasonable things, but he's going to go 7 innings.
Oh, would be his longest so far.
And 7 innings, 9 strikeouts.
I don't think the Heat bothers him at all.
No.
LSU guy, he's fine.
Yeah.
We made this big deal, and I think rightfully so, about what Mitch Keller's done, going 45 straight starts at 5 or more innings. Look, early days now, but you got now 5 consecutive starts for Paul Skeens going 5 or more. And, you know, efficiency is not, I wouldn't say, his strong suit, but he's given you 5 innings just about every time out, which is good. I didn't know that they'd allow him to get into that 90-pitch mark. You ready for social media's biggest loser?
Yes.
Well, I was too, but I got to read this first. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. NBC Cleveland really stepped in it. So the U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau is lining up for one of the putts of his life. And NBC Sports Cleveland had a heat advisory warning come across the bottom of the screen, and it blocked the hole. And so the play-by-play guy, He lets it ride. We played it earlier for like 20 seconds after the putt goes in. He doesn't say anything. So like you could tell by the reaction, but you brought this up. You got millions of dollars in gambling on the line.
And you don't even get to see the putt go in or out.
The putt go in.
Yikes. That's terrible. You're better off cutting away from the whole entire thing and going to like the weather.
Oh, yeah, because that's more maddening.
Yes.
He is lining up for the putt, and right before he gets into the backswing, you get the thing on the bottom.
You can't see the hole or his like feet or the ball, right?
Nope. You could barely see from like his knees down.
Oh my goodness, that's awful.
Really, really bad timing. You could have waited like 20 extra seconds there, Cleveland. But bad things happen in Cleveland. It's why Cam Hayward will never play there. Tomorrow, we have Brett Boone, I believe, joining the show. Odyssey Major League Baseball insider to talk about Paul Skeens, whatever he does tonight. Coming up next, you got the Joe Starkey Show with Paul Zeiss. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy, 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high 95.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower IONIQ 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over
here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.